I really would.
She, dude, Maggie Gyllenhaal is terrible. She did her level best to ruin The Dark Knight for me.
And they always pick like a sexy lead. And Maggie Gyllenhaal got it. And it is...
You have to work really hard for me to like be happy when a protagonist in a film dies. Specifically gets blown up on a rooftop. But I was so happy. The only thought running through my mind was, whoa, this movie just got way better.
Well,
without her presence.
Okay, so do we know? I mean, is there any... Does anybody have the information as to why Katie Holmes didn't... You know, why she wasn't actually...
She was pregnant.
She was pregnant.
And they didn't want to wait.
And the replacement, the best that they could come up with was Maggie Gyllenhaal?
This is my point. Jake Gyllenhaal would have been better. You're right.
He would have. Jake Gyllenhaal and a wig. Even that looks more feminine.
I understand, but after he's done Brokeback Mountain, you know, he can't cross that line again. Dude, he can make as many Prince of Persia as he wants and take off his shirt, but it's not going to happen.
He was better in The Day After Tomorrow than she was in The Dark Knight.
Day After Tomorrow.
That is totally underrated. That's a 7. I love that film.
It's a 7?
Yeah, I love The Dark Knight.
By the way, everybody, welcome back. I'm your host, Joe Bianchino, again, and I'm joined now to talk some soccer and apparently some Maggie Gyllenhaal with... Mr. Mark Graydon over here, who's one of the smartest soccer men I know. He is the manager of Wolf's Beer Garden on Broadway and the owner of the Old English Pub, also on Broadway. Nice little place. Mark, how you doing, man?
Thanks for having us, Joe. Cheers.
And by the way, he's British, so he's already smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah, that gives you automatic street cred.
And that voice you hear is the only guy who can give him a run for his money in intelligence, and that is Mr. Jeffrey Sandler, who's just, you know, a buddy of mine who's really intelligent. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Did you not like that little intro to yourself there? You didn't like that?
No, it was fine. It's great. I mean, you said a lot more about Mark. I mean, I'm just...
he's a small business owner, all right? He's the backbone of America, even though he's British.
Really? Can we officially qualify you as a job creator? Does that happen?
I feel like backbone is a little bit far. I'd say one of the small bones that you find in your right ear. I would take that.
Really, you're the hammer.
Is it the cochlear bone? Is that it?
I'm the cochlear of America.
There you go.
All right. Hey, out of curiosity, did anything exciting happen at the end of the Premier League season on Saturday?
I missed it. Actually,
you missed it. Was that Saturday or Sunday?
It was Sunday.
Sunday. Did anything exciting happen? I wasn't sure.
And it was a culmination of an entire season, and Manchester City, otherwise known as the Mercenaries of the English Premier League, stole the league title from Manchester United in the last 90 seconds. It was
unbelievable.
The most intense ending to a Premier League season.
For those of you who weren't watching, by the way, all three of us were together, by the way. For those of you who weren't watching, Manchester City and Manchester United were tied atop the standings. There are no playoffs. Whoever has the most points at the end of the season wins. But City was above on goal differential. And by the way, is it City were above? Were above. Excuse me. English. City were above on goal differential. And so all they had to do was basically match whatever United did. And United's game was going on at the same time. And it just finished. United's game finished. Just in time for them to turn around and see in the big screen that City were losing to one of the worst teams in the league, and it just entered stoppage time. And the smiles grew on the United faces. Sir Alex got his S-eating grin on. And boom, Dzeko, boom, Aguero, City win the title.
So, sorry, Joe, that's City bought the title.
At
the small price of $1 billion, quite literally.
Well, yeah, that was... Why did they never throw up that statistic in the QPR City game, but just the differential in the salaries for those two teams? The mere fact that they're playing at the City of Manchester Stadium, and City is losing to QPR, who's down to 10 men.
Down to 10 men because Joey Barton's out of his mind.
Joey Barton... it's so bizarre for City to be involved in a game and for Balotelli to not be the craziest person at the stadium.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It's amazing.
Even when Craig Bellamy's on the field, it's still Balotelli, but not Joey Barton. So, but let me ask you this question, because it was one of those just unbelievably dramatic moments. Is this the most dramatic bit of theater sport has given us? And maybe not ever, but in, let's say, the past couple of years.
It's definitely within a Premier League, definitely, because you get it so often where where a team maybe wins with two games to go. And that's why everybody argues that not having playoffs isn't as exciting mm-hmm. as like the NFL. But when you get moments like this, you've literally got all 20 teams kicked off at 10 o'clock, like Eastern right. Standard Time. So they're all kicked off at the same time. And you can see these goals coming in from every angle. One team's yep. getting relegated. One team's now leading the Premier League. And you've got so many different storylines that if you follow the Premier League, it's almost, even if you follow it like we do avidly, it's mm-hmm. hard to keep up with it. All of a sudden, QPR were relegated from the Premier League.
Yeah.
And then they score. Then they go down to 10 men. It was just...
They score again.
Yeah, yeah. It was
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But, and for them, it was in the 91st minute. And Manchester United are now like having a coronation at Old Trafford. And all of a sudden, like Manchester City are in extra time. They need two goals. And you're thinking, this is never going to happen. And as soon as they scored the first one, they scored the next one within 60 seconds. And it was unbelievable.
Well that's one of the ways that you can kind of tell that it was just incredible sports theater, is that so few of the people who were actually at the Garden that day watching it were City or United fans. Mm. I was sitting next to a West Brom fan, and that guy was so into the game. It was unbelievable.
What a horrible existence that is.
It really is. I mean, you're just signing up for misery, aren't you?
13th place every year. Yeah.
It's better than West Ham. I mean, I was logistically challenged as a child, but so I have to support West Ham. So I've been like hunting out, trying to be the glory hunter. I am the curse of the glory hunters. If I support a team, something goes terribly wrong. I decided to support Manchester United this season. They just got their hearts cut out in the last seconds.
And that is why, like, to me, the dichotomy and the progression of emotions to watch like City fans just bawling in the stands because they're losing to like the worst team above relegation.
Yeah, but City fans,
but they haven't won a title in 44 years. You know, they all woke up that morning thinking, "This is it. We're going to sweep aside QPR.
Right.
It's going to be easy. We're going to breeze to a title." And then in the 89th minute, they're down and they're about to lose it to United of all teams.
Yeah, but most of these Man City fans have only been Man City fans for like 7 months. They started going, "Oh my God, this is such a wonderful team. Yeah, let's jump on the bandwagon." You've now got this enormous bandwagon. It's the size of a small freight train. And everyone jumps on top of it because they've spent billions of dollars and bought the title.
That's an excellent point, and it's absolutely true. And you throw out the statistic, they haven't won it in 44 years. Well, yeah, they just, what was it, the Sheik just bought it 4 years ago?
He spent $400 million, like, right. This is like $650 million. No, $600 million.
My apologies.
No, just on strikers, just on forwards, and they've sold half of them. They're basically like the Yankees times 10.
Let me ask you, though, did the Yankees break any rules?
No.
Did Man City break any rules?
Well, they will do if they do this next.
Actually, they might, yeah. The financial fair play?
No. But did they this year?
No.
No.
No. So if anybody can buy a team, any sheik can buy a team, and Abramovich has been trying for years. How's that working out for Chelsea?
Well, funny enough, the Chelsea are now the ex-mercenaries because they're all like 34 and no one will buy them. So they've got these old ex-mercenaries they're trying to get rid of. And they're like, oh my God.
But to get back to the question that you asked, Joe, when you said, is it the best kind of instance of sports theater that we've had in the last couple of years? Okay, you can accuse me of being a homer, and you know, for disclaimer purposes, I'll say that I'm a Chelsea fan. But wasn't the second half of the second leg of the Champions
Barcelona.
League, Barcelona, that Chelsea, awful. That it's down to 10 men, Chelsea are down to 10 men, they're playing at, and I never know, is it Camp Nou or New Camp? What are we supposed to
do? New Camp.
It is New Camp?
I think that changed. It was Camp Nou, and now it's New Camp.
It is New Camp now? So yeah. They're in Barcelona playing away to... hands down, nobody's going to argue this, the best club in the world.
Best offensive, hands down, the best offensive force.
Well, right. Arguably, they're calling this the greatest ever team.
Right.
Arguably.
Right.
Right. And so Chelsea are down to 10 men. They've lost both of their center halves.
They're down 2-0 at the time.
They were down 2-0 for a little bit. But that entire second half, which was just a siege. I haven't seen the possession percentage.
It was 82% possession to Barcelona. I mean,
oh my God.
As far as theater, it wasn't a single moment, but I think you could make an argument that entire second half was, I mean, how intense was that? How great a football was that?
And that I think rivals it. For me, though, and maybe I could slide your way because I was rooting for that, and I expected Chelsea to get, as soon as Cahill went down and Terry did what he did, I expected it to lose like 8-1 and just go home and be sad for a while. But so that was unbelievable. But to have the progression of emotion in so many different venues that day,
yeah.
To watch, you know, desperation turn to hope and hope turn to elation for City fans, and you know, elation turned to utter despair for United fans, which I revel in, by the way. I mean, that was just like the dichotomy of it was just the juxtaposition, I should say, of the, by the way, that is two great SAT words right in a row. The juxtaposition of those scenarios happening at the exact same time, it was just unbelievable. Just listen, go back and listen to like some of the calls. Have you heard Ian Dark call that?
Mm-hmm.
McManaman had no voice. He must like turned off his mic and just been screaming because he had no voice when he came back on to do the color.
Well, he's an ex-Liverpool player and ex-Man City, so he hates Man United. So for McManaman, it was fantastic. But it can't happen really in many other sports because you won't have the teams playing at the same time. Like if somebody has an amazing comeback, let's say the Giants beating the Patriots, that one moment where David Tyree caught the ball on his helmet, that one moment was amazing, but it was only one moment in one game.
Exactly.
And this was, you've got United nearly giving up a goal against Sunderland. And without doing a plug here, Wolf's Beer Garden, we had like four different games on at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're looking around at the games. It was a shameless plug.
It was a shameless plug. And for the record, four games on at the same time, it's too much. You guys should have been handing out like Adderall or Ritalin at the door because you don't know where to look. You'll have people that are just cheering in one part of the bar and you have no idea. You just head on a swivel, man.
Well,
funny
enough, you've got in 1 minute Arsenal scored, which means that they probably solidified third place in Champions League next year. Then you've got the Tottenham game going on and Tottenham scored. And this is like completely separate from the issue. Then you've got Manchester United game and Manchester City. All four games going on at once.
Right. And then West Brom actually went up against
and
Arsenal.
Yeah.
And so Tottenham was in third for a little while. And speaking of which, how just radically upset are Tottenham fans going to be? I mean,
If Chelsea wins. By the way, isn't it amazing? And we'll come back with that point. But isn't it amazing that there were six games at least that had six of the 10 games had some very important, like it was important. Those games had some, whether it was relegation or Champions League or the actual title, had some importance. Like the only team not playing an important game is about to play for Europe's biggest crown.
Is importancy a word?
No,
it is right now.
Or would we say, I like it. I might try and introduce it.
I'll
let the Queen know, see if she'll pass it.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Could you call the Queen? And you guys are tight,
I mean,
I call
her Lizzie. I call her Lizzie. But importancy, a young American would like to introduce that into the English language. Yeah. No, it's been denied.
Is she, is she, by the way, like the gatekeeper of all English? Do we have to go to her? Does like Webster's have to be like, hey?
Oh, she's the Oracle. She's basically the Oracle.
Why did you go with Webster's instead of the Oxford English?
I don't know. I just said whatever.
That seems like that would have been the layup there, right?
So, but isn't it amazing that whatever happened in Chelsea and whatever, here they're playing Bolton, right? Or no, they're playing Blackburn. Whatever happened in Chelsea and Blackburn doesn't matter.
Mm.
But Chelsea's about to play for Europe's biggest crown.
Right, and so did you see the lineup that Chelsea fielded that day? Actually, I think three of the guys that I played pickup with, pickup soccer with on Tuesdays were starting for.
Yeah, when it wasn't like Lukaku starting. And,
oh, yeah.
They had,
oh,
yeah, yeah, but the people we're saying with pickups are what Chelsea just, one of the other mercenary billionaires, went and spent $18 million on a pickup player that nobody's heard of, who's a substitute, who hasn't played all year. He cost more than the entire QPR team. Oh, yeah, he's just that pickup player, Lukaku.
By the way, you're all high and mighty. Who are you rooting for this year?
You went from West. I mean,
it was between Swansea and Manchester United.
I
couldn't really decide. So in the end, I plumbed for Manchester United, and it's turned out to be the curse of Manchester United because
and Fergie's never bought a player in his life.
Well, not just that, but I supported the Patriots.
I was going to say,
and then the Patriots lost. Then I was like, right, I'm going to jump on the Heat train. Mm-hmm. The Heat, Bosch. I think I started supporting Miami Heat about 32 seconds before Bosch injured his ankle and went out. So I apologize to all of Miami. And then I've decided I'm going to actually support Bayern Munich when it comes to the final, just to curse the Germans. I'm just going to curse
Appreciate
the Germans.
That.
I might
Thank
even
you.
I might even Thank actually you. Wear a Bayern Munich jersey, which I've been forced to do. I lost a fantasy soccer bet with a friend of mine, and he's making me wear a Bayern Munich jersey. The unfortunate thing is he's 6'8", and I'm 5'10.5".
By the way, with Chelsea and Bayern in the Champions League final. Who saw that coming? Like, who actually put the bet down that Madrid and Barcelona were both going to lose?
Well, who saw it coming? I mean, I actually feel bad for soccer commentators because they all had to be expecting that Barcelona will be there for the next forever, right?
El Clásico in the Champions League final, and we get Barcelona, or we get Chelsea and Bayern Munich.
Come on, Barcelona in the special one in the final? As a Chelsea fan, I would have wanted to see
and
that.
And by the way, you don't even get Terry, who you know is like, it's a Champions League final, so somebody on Chelsea is going to lose their friggin' mind and get thrown out. It was probably going to be Terry. You don't even have that anymore.
Or Morales, and he's out as well.
By the way, Morales just looks like he hates
everyone.
Like, he just, with the tattoos and everything, like, he looks like he could just be ready to stab anyone at any point.
But he still doesn't scare me nearly as much as Barton or Bellamy or Balotelli.
No, because those guys are just out of their minds. Like, Morales looks like he hates people. Barton looks like he would kill you just for standing there. So, all right, look, we're going to take a tiny break. We're going to come right back, and we're going to get into the Champions League preview. All right, we'll be right back.